Welcome back in hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. What a year it was for the New York Football Giants back in the playoffs. They win a postseason game up against the Vikings before losing to Philadelphia in the divisional round. And now joining us, just wrapped up his rookie season with the Giants as a safety, fourth round pick out of Iowa, is of course Dane Belton. Dane, thanks for coming in. Appreciate the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
So how do you kind of look back? Rookie year, I know it got off to an unfortunate start with the broken collarbone, but you quickly got back to the field. How do you kind of recap what your rookie season was like?
It was a huge blessing, you know, being able to go out there, like you said, come back from an injury and still be able to play meaningful football for the team and help them win. And it was a great experience overall, you know, successful season and looking forward to the future.
When did you get comfortable? Were you comfortable right away or did it take a little bit?
I would say it took a little bit, you know, especially just coming in straight from college. You go right into rookie minicamp and OTAs and things like that. But I definitely think it was a quick level of comfortability that came in, and especially the guys helping me and just being able to, you know, teach me things and show me the ropes and get comfortable was really the big thing.
Right now, everyone's going through the draft process. Mm-hmm. The combine just wrapped up. I always poke fun at the combine because it's, if you could run a 40 and throw up a bunch of reps on the bench press, all of a sudden you shoot up the draft board. It's almost like the film all throughout the years does not matter. But how did you kind of look back at your draft experience, mm-hmm, and what that process was like, showcasing what you could do to all these teams that would be interested in you?
Yeah, it was a period in my life where everything you did was amplified.
Yeah.
And just going through that experience.
You take a walk. Oh, he didn't take a walk fast enough.
Exactly.
Stupid.
No, exactly. And, yeah, everything is measured. Everything is bigger than what it normally is. But, like I said, it was a blessing to be in that position, be able to showcase my abilities at the combine, you know, pro days, being able to talk to different organizations was huge. And like you said, the combine, it's a crazy weekend, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's a blessing to be in that position.
Did you get asked any weird things? Yeah, we hear about that all the time.
Oh, man. I don't even remember. Nothing really crazy.
Staring contests, rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
No, nothing like that. It was crazy. I had a formal with the 49ers, and John Lynch, obviously the GM, and, you know, he was a safety for my hometown team, so being able to talk to him. And it was like after the meeting, one of the guys was like, "You know who that is?" And he's like, I was like, "Yeah, it's John Lynch." He was like, "Okay, just making sure you knew your history." I was like, "How could I not know that?" But you know, other than that, no, it was a good experience.
So you grew up as a Buccaneers fan?
Yes, sir.
Who were some of your favorite players growing up?
Oh, man, when I was growing up, we were pretty bad. So, you know, we had guys like Josh Freeman, guys like that. So definitely Rondé Barber was my favorite, just playing defensive back, you know, as good as he was, being able to watch him, and I would say definitely him.
Well, we work with his brother Tiki, yeah, so we always have to get pitted into a corner. Who's your favorite barber? That's always a struggle, and I had to tell Rondé at the Super Bowl that I go with Tiki just because I see him every day. Then Rondé gave me chicken, though. He gave me some church's chicken. So
oh, yeah.
Tried to fatten me up to win me over. That usually does it. Dane Belton here with us in studio. Other players growing up as a kid, like who were some guys that you kind of just gravitated towards and just found yourself watching, whether it was on YouTube or a lot on Sundays?
Yeah, I would say the main guy was Megatron. You know, being able to watch him, just witness like his production and all he did was crazy. I used to get, you know, his hats, you know, the Megatron Nike snapbacks, and definitely wanted to be him. But yeah, that was the guy that sticks out the most, just being able to watch him. And obviously when I was younger, Troy Polamalu, you know, being able to watch him as a safety and make the plays he did and make some crazy plays at that were definitely two guys I love to watch and still love to go back and watch the highlights.
And it's still funny to this day when I think of Megatron, I think of like three defensive backs trying to
and
guard
him.
He
just goes up top.
Yep. Yeah. And it didn't matter. And Polamalu, you just knew where he was at all time,
yeah,
because he could destroy your day. But that hair was just awesome.
Most definitely.
Dane Belton here with us in studio. So you're going through this dream. Obviously, you grow up and you're a big football fan and you're watching all these players. When did you start to say, because like everyone grows up as a kid and says they want to be an athlete, but when did you start to realize, I could actually do this? I could play at the next level in the NFL.
Yeah, I would say it was after my freshman year of high school. You know, I moved up to varsity and it was that spring. You know, we have a lot of, in Florida, we have spring period where a lot of college coaches are coming down. And just being able to talk to coaches and be like, you know, we like you even though you're so young. And just being able to realize then that I could play at the college level. And then if I could play at college and perform well, I could ultimately get to the NFL. So that was really when it started to become reality. And from there, you know, it was just about I really wanted it. So I had to, you know, do everything I needed to do to get there. So I would say that's when it started to become a reality.
How many positions did you play in high school?
Oh, man, I played safety. I played receiver, Wildcat quarterback. I was on every special teams. I returned. I was actually the punter my senior year.
Wow.
Yeah, so definitely.
Could you boot the ball?
I had a good amount of punts over 50, some down inside the five. So, hey, I got the job done. So, but it definitely played a lot of positions.
So now you have a year under your belt. You probably have a relationship with Coach Daboll. Do you go into his office at one point and go, Coach, if you need me down inside the red zone, I could use probably the few extra bucks in the contract negotiations down the road. Let me fire off a pass.
Oh, man, I think it's a little bit different in this level. But and we have guys like Isaiah and different receivers that can, you know, win those jump balls. So, you know, I definitely probably stick to safety. But hey, if the opportunity comes, I would definitely jump on it.
Dane Belton here with us. So your relationship with Brian Daboll, just take us behind the scenes a little bit. Obviously, we've known about him for a long time. He finally gets that opportunity to become a head coach in this league, and he blew it out of the park in year number one. Just being in that locker room, what was the vibe and what was the culture like?
Oh, man, the culture was crazy. I loved it. You know, being a rookie, I wasn't here to see the last regime, but just talking to the guys that have been here, just talking, seeing the difference that they talk about and how much they love Daboll and this culture he has. It's just, you know, there's nothing like, you know, the energy he brings in every meeting, every win in the locker room, even when we lose, just being able to command the locker room and everyone wants to listen to him. And, you know, for my first year, I couldn't ask for anything more.
I think a lot of times throughout the year, people were just waiting for the Giants to fall off because going into the year, no one really expected much, especially with the new regime coming in and the state of the roster. Did you guys take that personally? Because even when you guys were having success, it was, yeah, the Giants are playing really well, but they're not one of the better teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't say we took it personally. I would say we all knew, you know, what was being said about us, you know, the expectations coming in the year. And even when the year started, you know, that we weren't going to keep that streak or the, you know, the hotness alive. But, you know, for us, you know, being professionals, you know, we just got to go out there and do our jobs. So at the end of the day, we weren't reading too much of what people were saying. We knew what we control our own destiny. So, you know, we knew what they were saying, but at the end of the day, you know, it really didn't affect us that much.
Walking into that locker room, what do you remember about that? Were you starstruck at all? I know it's a business, but there's also a personal side of it.
I wouldn't say I was starstruck, but there's definitely people like, okay, that's so-and-so. I would say
Saquon's over there. Wow, Saquon, holy crap.
Leo, guys like that. I know in the team meeting, I sit next to Adoree Jackson every day. So, you know, my childhood self would have went crazy knowing that later on in life I'd sit next to Adoree Jackson. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all guys and we just hang out and everyone's cool. So it's not like anyone's like above anyone else in that aspect. They treat each other. So it's definitely a good vibe around the locker room.
Is it easy to win over Dexter Lawrence? Because that dude is just a mauler on the field. And I think he's the best player on the Giants, honestly.
Yeah, he's a great player. I recall like coming in. I was always like quiet, you know, sitting in the meeting rooms, and he always would look at me with this like strange face, like, I'm going to figure you out one day. And he always come up to me and like, you're so quiet. Like, well, what are you thinking? A great dude, you know, just a great leader we have. And like you said, a phenomenal player that, you know, I'm glad to have on our side.
What was this last week like for you? Because now you get to experience the business side of it. And I know you could only control what you could control, but there's all these rumors. Is Daniel Jones going to get franchise tag? Is he going to get a contract? Saquon Barkley, is he going to be back on the team? Is he going to hit the market? And you find out Saquon gets the tag and Daniel Jones gets the four-year deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of found myself in a spot where I was like almost like a fan where I'm checking Twitter like, did they sign him yet? I'm trying to pick up on the news, but, you know, definitely had to take a step back. But, you know, because I wanted to make sure those guys were coming back. You know, those are two phenomenal players we have, two great leaders and great guys to be around. So I definitely, you know, wanted them back, you know, even as just a rookie. But definitely being able to see those guys come back and sign the deal. And I know Saquon's tagged and hopefully they work out a deal with him too. But just having those guys back is awesome for our team.
What do you say? Because Daniel Jones gets the contract and then right away people go to Twitter and they're like, oh, he's not worth the money. He's not going to be a great quarterback in the league. What do you say to the people that doubt Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I would say there's so many people that doubt him, but they don't see the work he puts in and day out, you know, the hours he spends and just the amount of production he has just for our team, you know, this past year. And me being able to see him for 1 year was like, yeah, I kind of knew right away, like, this guy's legit. And I would love to have him as my quarterback, so I'm glad I do. And so just for them to just really watch and see, you know, I feel like we're only at the beginning of what we can be as a team, and it's just only going to go up from here.
What's the message? You being in that locker room, you have a year under your belt, and you guys exceeded all expectations last year. Some people may say, oh, there's going to be regression with the Giants. We've got to see what they do in the offseason. You being a player, what's your message to the fan base about what this team could be next year?
Yeah, I would say the big thing is, you know, we exceeded outside expectation, but we didn't exceed our expectation, and that's to win. you know, go 1-0 every week and ultimately try to win a championship. So I would say for the fan base, just understand that, you know, we're a work in progress, but at the end of the day, we're striving for that championship and that Super Bowl. So, you know, until we get there, we won't be satisfied.
Dane Belton here with us in studio from the Giants. Your game, individually, what are you working to improve on this offseason?
Yeah, really just every aspect. You know, I'm trying to, first and foremost, get my body fully healthy. You know, like you said, coming back from injury, I was still lingering a little bit, just trying to get back there. And after that, you know, just continue to sharpen the mental side, you know, being able to see schemes that offenses do, you know, after a year under my belt. And just ultimately, you know, just getting more physical as far as, like, getting bigger, faster, stronger. I feel like those things you can never get, you know, too much of. So really just a well-rounded offseason will really help me out.
What's your best Wink story, Wink Martindale?
Oh, man. It's so many stories I call back on. But I would say just he tells us a lot of stories. I remember in London he told us a story when he met Rihanna. And it was a,
really?
it was a crazy story. And
I can't see him and Rihanna meshing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like when he told us, we were looking like, is this real? Like, he's probably telling the truth. So, you know, just being him, just telling all these different stories, he's a great guy to have as our, you know, leader in defense.
When you got that call, fourth round pick, Giants, you know, we've had Joe Shane on this show a lot. I like what he's done so far in year one. What do you remember about when you got that call? Where were you and how did it kind of all go down?
Yeah, I was back home in Tampa, Florida, you know, surrounded by my close family, and just being able to get that call, having taken a 30 visit, less than 2 weeks before the draft, and just being so familiar with, you know, with those guys and getting that call and hearing Joe first and talking to Daves and Wink was just like, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, I had a shirt and hat from the 30 visit, so right when I got drafted, I threw it on. So, you know, I was sporting the Giant blue. But it was just a great call, great, you know, experience to be there with my family and experience all the hard work that, you know, they've done to get me where I'm at, just culminating to that point.
New York could be tough, but it's so rewarding. Mm-hmm. And you guys made this city, like, proud again of the Giants for where it was the last 4 or 5 years or so. That New York experience so far, like, what do you take away from 1 year in New York?
I would say it's a great city. You know, I love, like you said, the fans have gone through a lot. So to see us win and being my first year out, that's the only thing I've experienced. So to see how joyous they get when they are able to talk to us and like, man, you guys, you don't know what you mean to us. So just being able to hear that and know that, you know, we are doing this for more than ourselves, doing this for more than just the team, but, you know, the people are behind us. So just hearing that support is everything to us.
What's your favorite individual memory from this year?
Oh, man, I would say
got to be the pick, the first pick, right? Your first career interception?
I was about to say it probably is, definitely. I would say one is I got a quarterback hit on Aaron Rodgers in London, and that was like, you know, those are guys you look up to, not Aaron Rodgers. But I'll definitely go with the pick, the best one for sure.
And then the playoff win, that plane ride back must have been awesome.
Oh, man, it was great. That environment in the locker room, too, not even, 2 weeks after we lost to them and we knew that we were going to come back and play them again. That was just a great experience for sure.
And I'll be impressed with Daboll. Dave's got some good dance moves in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I saw it was after the Tennessee game. And when I saw that and just the way I was like, yeah, this guy's legit.
But that's what was so fun about your team. Early on, you guys sent a message that you were going to compete. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't know if you're going to be a great team, but you guys were going to compete. And it didn't matter. You had a few comebacks like that. The Ravens game, I remember, too, where you're down in the fourth quarter, and when your back's up against the wall, it was just, bam, it's go time. You can't make any more mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that's what we pride ourselves on, being able to keep fighting. As long as there's time on the clock, you know, there's an opportunity for us in the game. So that was what, you know, the culture Dave's instilled in us, that, you know, whenever we're on the field, we're going to do our best, and we're going to, you know, produce. So that's really what we just did week in and week out.
When you reach your full potential, what football player can Dane Belton be like?
Oh, man. I wouldn't want to compare myself to anyone. I feel like there's different parts of my game that I like to emulate after people. But at the end of the day, when I reach my full potential, you know, that's going to be a completely different player, completely different person. So, you know, that's what I strive for every day.
So describe the type of player that you envision yourself being.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the plays like Polamalu, the range like Ed Reed, you know, being able to be physical like Brian Dawkins, even though he's an Eagles player. But, you know, just guys like that emulate after my game after, and just being able to do that on the field is what I look for.
Why'd you go to Iowa? Wondering. Great program, but.
Yeah, it was a lot of things that went into it. You know, I had a lot of offers, but it was just all things included. You know, this was my ultimate goal, to be playing in the NFL. And, you know, the way they, you know, produce, especially DBs, and develop them, from young guys, walk-ons, former receivers, and taking them, I knew the coach could do it with me. And he's a great coach. He's the defensive coordinator and the DB coach. So being able to play under him was amazing.
Before we let you run, so we know about what you could do on the field, we know your background. What do you like off the field? Dane Belton, when he got some personal time, what are you doing?
I'm hanging out. You know, I like to play video games. I'm on Call of Duty right now, just hanging out. Read a little bit, and really other than that, just chill, you know, take advantage of the free time.
If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing professionally?
I would say something around the sport of football. I just love the game so much. You know, I'll definitely have looked, just thought about coaching when I'm done, and other than that, being an entrepreneur with some type of business that revolves around, you know, training athletes or being able to get an athlete to his best potential.
Well, Dane Belton, nice to meet you. Congrats on year one, and good luck coming up the rest of the way.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.